grace provides, finish the work for us when the Savior died. 153.
Settled forever, sin's tremendous plague.
Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate everyone who's made an effort to be here. Before we speak, we'll bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we would bow to pray in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We look up to heaven to thee and look unto thee for our help. We know, our Father, that that which we have to consider tonight is weighty matters, the solemnity of eternity and where our soul will be forever. And we pray, our God, that thou wilt draw nigh by thy Spirit to do what we are unable to do, to speak to those that are here, that are yet in their sins, and that are not saved. Lord, bless the gospel and give help and glorify thy Son. As we have sung, all glory is due unto him. We thank thee, Father, for him, and pray for thy blessing in his name. Amen. I'd like to read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And we'll read a story about a blind man, or two blind men, starting at verse number 29 of Matthew 20. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them, and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. What I would like to consider in this section is the cry of a sinner, sinners that cried out. You'll notice that it says in verse number 30 that they cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And then in verse number 31, it says they cried out the more. Here are sinners that were willing to cry out. And I'd like to think of one cry that came from a Savior in John 19. There were seven cries that came from a Savior on the cross, but I want to think of the last one. John 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And this is a cry from the Savior. Those are just two different cries that I'd like to consider tonight. A cry that came from sinners and a cry that came from the Savior. Recently, I listened to an audio transcript. And it was of a pilot that was flying an aircraft that had run into problems. And this was on YouTube, and it's you only hear what the air traffic controllers are saying and what the pilot was saying back. And this particular aircraft is a freighter known as a Cessna Caravan. And there was a lady that was piloting that aircraft, and you can hear her as she talks back and forth with air traffic control. And it starts out very calm. And the first thing that you hear her say is she says, Buffalo Approach, that's who she's calling. This is Caravan 1278 Lima checking in with you at 10,000. So she was telling them who she was, what height she was at, and where she was coming from. And they replied very calmly back to her, Caravan 1278 Lima, Buffalo Approach, Niagara Altimeter, 29er 81. She called back and acknowledged that. And then there's just a little bit of time that goes by, and Buffalo Approach, the controller, calls out to her and says, very calmly, 1278 Lima, I show you at 9,600 feet now. Are you descending? And there's no answer. And then he calls again. He says, 1278 Lima, Buffalo Approach. There's no answer. And he says it the second time. And you know, suddenly, and this is what really is striking as you listen to that audio, there's a very frantic voice that comes back. And there's a woman, and this time she isn't speaking calmly. The pitch in her voice is elevated, and she says, Caravan, Mayday, 8500, descending, Mayday, Mayday, cannot control the airplane. And what struck me in listening to that is she was crying out. It started there as she was piloting her aircraft, very calm. And you know, even as unbeknown to her, but as she was talking in a calm tone, telling them that she had just arrived at 10,000 feet, what she did not know was while she was calmly speaking to them, there was a problem that was building on her airplane. And it was a very, very serious problem that would actually cause her to suddenly start dropping to the ground. And here she was, talking calmly away to air traffic control. But what changed in just a brief moment? Do you know what changed? She realized she had a problem. She had the problem even when she was talking to them earlier. She just didn't know it. But when she became aware that she had this very serious problem, she cried out. And sadly, that dear woman was crying out to an air traffic controller that could do nothing to help her. He had no way. The problem she had was there was ice building on her wings. And the ice building on her wings was actually going to drop that aircraft to the ground unless something could be done. And so she frantically cries out that she couldn't control the airplane. And fortunately, as the airplane started to go down, after a number of mayday calls, she's able to tell them, okay, I've got control. The ice started to come off. And she had lost after losing about 5,000 feet. She was able to regain control, and you can listen to the whole thing. But what struck me was here was a woman who went from being calm to everything, thinking everything was okay, to suddenly crying out because she became aware of a problem that she had. And as we come here tonight to speak the message of the gospel, I'm certain tonight of one thing. I am speaking to people tonight that have a very serious problem. And what bothers us and concerns our hearts tonight is there are those that continue on through life carrying a very serious problem, and they just continue on in calm, cool, and collected, like there's no problem. No problem with me. And all the while, just like that pilot that so calmly was talking to air traffic control, she had a serious problem. Is you're going through life carrying with you a very serious problem. And our hope is that tonight you would recognize and realize the seriousness of what we're speaking about. It's not a trifling matter, and it's not a matter to be laughed about or to be joked about. But the problem that you have and that you're carrying tonight, that if you don't deal with, is a problem that'll damn you for all of eternity. If tonight you're like four young men in Notre Dame, New Brunswick, that left this world, three of them 17 years old, one of them 18, Friday night they're alive, Saturday night they're gone. If you are to leave this world carrying the problem of your sin, never having cried out, you'll never be in heaven. And so, as we would speak to you tonight, I would like to just show you from the scriptures some men that recognized they had a problem. And those men were two blind men. They were sitting on the side of a road. And those men cried out, and they cried out the more. And they cried out because they had a problem. And you know, as we would speak to you about these things, I've told you about a pilot that cried out to an air traffic control that could do nothing. That controller sitting in an office somewhere was not in any way able to reach out to that woman's aircraft and take the ice off her wings. He couldn't solve her problem. He couldn't do anything about it. But tonight we're encouraged that as we speak to you a message that speaks about the deepness of your problem, we are certain, and we ourselves are proof, that if you call out, there's a man who can take care of your problem. We're here to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came all the way from heaven to this earth to take care of your problem. And I would like you to understand tonight that this problem that you have is yours as an individual. And yes, I'm speaking here tonight to an audience of many different people. But unless tonight you're willing to think about your own problem in a personal, an individual manner, you'll never ever deal with it. It'll never ever be something that you will see solved. These sinners, these two men, they cried out. They had two reasons that they cried out. First of all, there was a multitude, we read in verse number 30, a whole multitude of people that were going along with the Lord Jesus. But I noticed that out of that whole vast multitude, and we don't know, maybe it was 1,000 people, maybe it was 500, however many people were traveling along and near the Lord Jesus, out of all of them, just think of that, a huge multitude, there's only two men that are crying out for him. What caused those two men to cry out? Just think in your mind. Out of all the people that were in that crowd, why was there two men? What made them cry out? And you would say, it's because they had a problem that the other people didn't have. They had a problem in that they were blind. And it was that problem that made them cry out. Very simply tonight, I would like you to recognize that out of the multitude of this room, you're an individual. And as an individual, you have a problem. And if ever you're going to see a blessing that can come from the very God of heaven to your own soul, you'll have to recognize this problem is my problem. And the problem I have is just like these blind men. I have a deep problem, and the problem, though, isn't blindness. It's my sin. It's the wrong that I have done. And I am sure tonight that those men could have reasoned in their mind and thought maybe of other people they knew, other blind men, but they weren't worried. They were worried that very time about their problem and about a man who could meet that problem. You know, they cried out because they had a problem and they knew they had it. And that's the first point I'd like you to understand. You do have a problem, and the problem is your own sin. And your sin, you might think, isn't quite so bad. You've never killed anybody. You might be a lot better than your brother, a lot better than your sister. You might be one of the best behaved in your classroom. But you, as well as every single other person in this world, Romans 3 and 23 says, all have sinned, fallen short of God's standard, fallen short of the glory of God. You have the problem. But you know what made these men cry out also? It wasn't just that they had a problem. Of course they were sinners, and of course they were blind. But they would sit by that road many days and maybe never cry out. Can you think of why? Why on this day did these blind men cry out? Do you know why they cried out on this day? Because this day was an opportunity. An opportunity that existed for them that may never have come again. It was a passing opportunity. They recognized there's a man that's going to pass by here. He might never come this way again. And if we don't cry out now, we might not have another chance. And as we preach the gospel tonight to you and speak about the problem of your sin, there is a man that tonight, right now, we're sure can meet the need of your sin. And he's available right now tonight. The gospel can go forth. This is the day of grace. But God in his word has made it clear. This day in which you can have the problem of your sin dealt with, it's going to end very abruptly. One of these days, the opportunity will be over with. The door will shut. The Bible says that the Master, God himself in heaven, is going to shut the door. And you know what else the scripture says? There's going to be those outside. And as we look tonight and consider this message, our hearts are burdened. We don't want anyone here to be on the outside. And these men knew, we have an opportunity right now, and we have to call out. You know what Isaiah says? Could you listen to these words very closely? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Tonight, we're urging you who have the problem of your sin, to recognize there's an opportunity that exists right now this evening. I can have this problem dealt with because there's a man who is near. The Lord Jesus was coming near, and they knew it, and they cried out. I noticed, though, that there was a lot of distractions that could have hindered these men. And you know what is very sad? When there comes to distractions that hinder men and women from trusting Christ, dealing with the problem of their sin, is sometimes they distract themselves. Some will try to keep themselves as busy as they can with work so they don't have to think about eternity. They don't have to think about dying. So they don't have to think about God. Sometimes it'll be even in a gospel meeting like this. And as we would speak about heaven and hell and about life and death and these solemn truths, I've seen how that sometimes people you can see, maybe a boy, maybe a girl who knows that they need to be saved, and they'll start fumbling with their hymn book. They'll start flipping through the pages of their Bible and distract themselves. And how sad to think that a person could actually seek to distract themselves from the very thing that could lead to their salvation. There is a lot of distractions that can hinder a person from reaching out to the one who can deal with their problem. And it's sad that you could even distract yourself. You know, another distraction is the distraction of tomorrow. There's a fictitious story that's told that I heard last week, and I've heard it before, but it is kind of interesting. Supposing that Satan has a council meeting with his demons, deciding just what might be the best tactic to deceive a sinner from being saved. And one of the demons suggested, well, you know, we could tell them that there's no God. And that's discussed, and yeah, that might be effective for some, but will that really work? Because boys and girls, men and women, know there's a God. And another suggests we could tell them that there's no heaven and no hell. And yes, there's a discussion that would work for some, and there are some that believe that, but that's probably not the most effective tactic. But another says, we'll tell them they can believe there's a God. We'll tell them they can believe there's a heaven and hell. But we'll tell them, just wait till tomorrow. And it was decided that's the very best tactic. And you know, that's just a fictitious story, but it does illustrate one of the greatest distractions that faces boys and girls and men and women thinking about their sin, thinking about eternity, thinking about what lies beyond this world, is the distraction of tomorrow. But you know, these men didn't just have distractions. You know what you'll notice when you look at them? They actually had those that opposed them. It wasn't just that they were trying to catch their attention and keep them from looking. They were trying to stop them. They were trying to keep them back. And you know, more than just a distraction, when it comes to being saved, there's opposition. And it might be you'll face opposition in your family. You might face oppositions from your friends. You might think of men at work. You might think of friends at school. What will they say? What about my family? I'm not saved and my brother's not saved, but what if I get saved? And there can be so many opposing factors that weigh up in the mind of an individual that it can actually stop them from reaching out to the man that can deal with the problem of their sin. But as I look at these men, notice that they cried with a cry of desperation. And that cry of desperation reached through beyond all of the opposing forces, reached through all the distractions, and reach the ears of the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you tonight, the sinner that cries in desperation out for a Savior will never be let down. Here we see two men. They cried in desperation, and the Lord Jesus blessed them. We can read of Peter. He was going across the water, and he starts to sink. He cries out in desperation. And what does it say? We're reminded today, immediately, the Lord saved them. Every single person that's saved, they can take you back to a moment of desperation. And you'll never be let down. Because you know why? Psalm 14 says that God searches this earth. And it says the Lord looks down from heaven, and he is searching for one type of a person. He's looking for a boy, for a girl, for a young man, for an older man, for anyone that just cries out in desperation to him because of the problem of their sin, and he will save them. Romans declares so clearly in chapter 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord is looking for someone to call out. You know, there was these men and they received the blessing. They pushed through the opposition, past the distractions. They reached the ear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, he had compassion, healed them. Do you think they ever regretted it? Do you think they ever thought back, well, that was kind of embarrassing? I wish we hadn't have made such a commotion. I wish everybody didn't notice that we were so desperate. No. They received the greatest blessing they could receive in their lifetime. They could see. I tell you, if you could get past whatever it might be you're thinking of and break through the hindrance of worrying about what other people might think, other people seeing you, other people noticing, and just let it all go and cry out to the Lord Jesus for salvation, you'll be saved. And it'll be a blessing that you'll be so thankful you got through all the opposition. What concerns us, though, and what burdens us greatly, is when I look at this story, is there's a whole multitude. And out of that whole multitude, there's only two that receive the blessing. You know, the Bible teaches very clearly that when it comes to this destination, and when it comes to the road that goes therein, the majority are going to end up there. And it says that it'll be the few that are going to make it through this door to heaven. The few that are going to be saved. The statistics, statistically speaking, are against you ever being saved. But tonight, he's near. Tonight, like those men that were sitting by that wayside, there was a time of opportunity that existed because the Lord Jesus was passing. And it exists for you tonight. You have a great opportunity right now where you could be saved. And that this was the call of the sinner. But I want to think just for a brief moment about this cry that came from the Savior. In John 19 and 30, we read these words, "It is finished." This wasn't a cry of desperation or exasperation or of defeat, but it was a cry of victory. A cry in which the Lord Jesus was stating, in other words, paid in full. That's why I gave that hymn out. Settled forever, sin's tremendous claim. Glory to Jesus, blessed be his name. No partway measure does his grace provide. Finished the work was when the Savior died. The Lord Jesus, when he cried out, finished, he wasn't finished. Far from it. He lay in the grave for 3 days. And although this earth crucified him and put him on a cross and probably figured he's finished now, and they rolled a big stone to the door and sealed him in there with guards and figured that this is it. We just got to let the time pass now. He's finished. The Lord Jesus wasn't finished. He came out of the grave alive. What he was saying when he said, "It is finished," is that all that was required for you to be saved was all done. The problem of your sin was completely taken care of. We could add those words that he spoke to every Old Testament prophecy. He fulfilled every one. But I'm just going to state a few, just to help you understand. Think for a minute of those words that were spoken in Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions." You know what we could put on the end of that? Finished. He was wounded for our transgressions. "He was bruised for our iniquities." Finished. He finished that. And then it goes on to say, "The Lord laid on him the iniquity, the sins of us all. Laid on him. It is finished." He finished it all. And what about that verse in Isaiah chapter 1? "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool." Finished. The blood was shed that can cleanse a sinner as clean as wool. It is finished. settled forever indeed was sin's tremendous claim. This cry that the Lord Jesus cried was accepted by God. The Lord Jesus, when he said it is finished, God accepted that payment. Paid in full, the sinner's sins were completely dealt with at the cross of Calvary by a Savior who cried out, "It's all done. Paid in full. It is finished." We have thought of two cries. The cry of a sinner that cries out in desperation. If you were to have that cry tonight, I'm certain you could be saved. And the cry of the Lord Jesus that reminds us that you can trust him because he has finished the work.